When you look at the word kingdom in the Bible, we know that it can be used in several different ways. Of course, you have God's physical kingdom, the fact that He created the world, that He created all things in it, that He governs all things by His laws of nature, and all things fall under His dominion on that. You have a reference in Psalms 103 in verse 19 referring to God ruling from His throne in heaven. It says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." Likewise, in Psalm chapter 22, in verse 28, it says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nation." So God is the ruler of all nations. He is the moral governor, if you will. He is the judge of what is good and evil, what is right and wrong. And in that sense, all nations fall under God's dominion. He is the king over all. We understand that. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 11, you have the reference there to the physical kingdom of Israel, the fact that it was a physical, tangible, earthly kingdom. And in places like Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 and 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, you see there references also made to the kingdom, referring to God's eternal kingdom of heaven. There's different ways that the word kingdom is used. We need to understand that any time we examine the word kingdom. So there's different ways there that it can be used. But for this evening's lesson, I want us to look at the kingdom as it pertains to God's kingdom of Christ. The kingdom that Christ rules over even today. I'd like to look at briefly this evening on what some statements that were made by Jesus and His apostles concerning the kingdom in the brief time that we have. We understand many denominations and many folks in the religious realm teach something far different than we understand on the kingdom. They teach that Christ is going to return to the earth someday, and at that time He's going to set up an earthly kingdom here on earth, and He's going to reign here physically on earth. They teach that the kingdom has not yet been established. But when we look at God's Word, we're going to see something far different from that. So tonight I want us again to look at some statements that were made by Jesus and His apostles about the kingdom and see how they differ from these views that these others hold. From the scripture reading that Dewey did for us in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, we notice something before we look at these statements that were made by Jesus and His apostles. Here, Daniel, of course, with God's help, is interpreting this dream by Nebuchadnezzar. Notice again in particular verse 39. We'll reread this. It says, "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So we understand the prophecy here made by Daniel, that during the third kingdom to reign after Babylon, that God's going to set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. The third kingdom here that it refers to is the Roman Empire. And it was, of course, during this time we know that Jesus came to the earth to establish His kingdom. So we see the prophecy there by Daniel. We see it fulfilled later on in the New Testament, don't we? That's something that was fulfilled, not something to come later. When you look at John chapter 18, we'll notice just a few statements that Jesus made. We'll notice a couple by His apostles, and then the lesson will be yours. Jesus said in John chapter 18, beginning in verse verse 33 here, he is beginning to talk with Pilate. It says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew, your own nation, and the chief priests have delivered you to me? What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So we notice a couple things here in this statement that Jesus made in John chapter 18. Number one, he declares that his kingdom is not of this world. And number two, he declares there that he is indeed a king. Now keep that in mind and flip to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So again, we see Christ here describing the kingdom. He says that the kingdom would not come with observation. It wouldn't be something that would be physically seen. It wouldn't be a kingdom built in a particular physical place. An earthly kingdom, as some others had. This goes along again with what we just looked at in John chapter 18. Jesus said here that the kingdom was within, or literally in your midst. The kingdom is seated within the hearts of men. Again, the idea that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. It's not a physical, tangible, observable kingdom like other kingdoms on earth. When you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, we know there that Israel did ask for a king. And we know from the chapters that follow and the books that follow that for a period of time, God allowed this to happen, beginning with King Saul. And that they did have a physical, earthly, tangible, observable territory, an observable, tangible king, just as all these other nations did. But we know that Christ's kingdom was to be at that time, and is to be today, something far different. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's something that is spiritual in nature. Christ is indeed a king, but as he said again, his kingdom is not of this world. So these statements alone, when we look at the thoughts of the denominational world and some of those in other religious realms and the thoughts that they have on the kingdom, these statements alone refute that, don't they? But Jesus makes another statement when you look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. Luke chapter 9 and verse 27 says, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. So Jesus declared here that there were some alive at that time who would not die until they actually seen the kingdom. Again, it becomes clear that the kingdom was to be established at that time, during the time of this Roman Empire. It wasn't something that was going to happen thousands of years later. There were those at that time that were going to see this. So it would be impossible for that to happen, for these to see the kingdom come, unless there's people today living that are 2,000 years old. It's just basically impossible. We notice what Paul wrote and told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1. You look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. So Paul says here that God had already conveyed or transferred them into the kingdom. So we ask ourselves, how would it be possible unless the kingdom had already been established, unless Christ was already ruling. One last scripture, and we'll bring it to a close. Revelation chapter 1. in verse 9. Revelation 1 and verse 9. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So John clearly understood here. In his writing to his brothers in Christ, he refers to himself here as a brother in the kingdom. So it was something that John here understood. In order to be a companion with them in the kingdom, the kingdom already had to be established. That Christ at that time was reigning over this kingdom. Again, these are just a few statements that I came across. There's a lot more that could be said on this subject. Perhaps we'll get into it at a later time. It could be just a whole series on this lesson. But hopefully for tonight, this will shed just a little bit of light. Help us guard against some false teaching that may be out there. Help us discuss it with other people when the subject comes up. And that we may have be ready to give a defense on this and be ready to give an answer. What about you tonight? Are you a part of that kingdom? If you're not, you can do that tonight. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to confess that before men, if you're willing to repent of your sins, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, just like they were in Acts chapter 2. If you have fallen away for some reason, you can make that right tonight. 1 John 1 and verse 9 tells us that if we'll simply go to God and ask Him, He will forgive us. If you're here tonight, you're not in a right relationship with God. You have a chance to make that right. Together we stand and sing.